This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You're listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
Very much plus the cat.
Are you all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah,
good.
Just something somebody just said.
Did I?
Yeah, thanks for that, Cal.
You're welcome, mate. You're welcome.
We're coming back on you. You make me corpse.
Yeah.
I'd like to just have a look at this,
give
actually.
Give us a pony.
Just very quickly.
25 quid.
25 quid.
I've practiced.
You know also what a pony is, don't you?
A little horse.
No, it's a Richard.
A Richard?
It's a Richard the Third.
I thought that was
going for a pony. Yes.
A poo.
Yes.
Come for a poo.
Yes. Yes,
a
it
pony.
Is. I'm going for a pony.
Why is that a pony?
No idea, but I know that it
Richard
is.
Richard the Third ride a pony?
Saddle up and ride your pony. Anyway, I'll just touch this a little bit and it's. serious stuff this is.
Okay.
Now, Facebook. Social media is damaging children's mental health, a major study suggests. I wouldn't have to do a major study to tell them that.
I'm not surprised.
I think it's disgusting what social media is
now. Of course
now.
It is.
I think it's awful. By the way, I spoke to Bell yesterday.
He sent me a message on Facebook.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. I was chatting away
so then. I spoke to him and he was sitting in my... And I said, you're right, Sam. He went, yeah. He said, but everyone's in there. He said, everyone's on their phone.
It's ridiculous.
All the kids on their phone. The wife on the phone. Everybody's on the phone.
It's terrible, isn't it? If on the tube in, everyone's on their phone. You look them down, everyone's on their phone. It's ridiculous. And do you know what?
It's true.
It's peacocking. That's what it is.
Yes.
That's all it is. No wonder there is an influx of mental health problems now. Okay. Because all you're doing is looking at what you haven't got.
Isn't it? Absolutely, yeah.
Do you know what? My parents told me, if you can't afford it, you can't have it.
That's right.
Save up and get it if you want it.
It's like that old joke, isn't it? Dad, I've got my eye on this bike. Well, keep your eye on it. You're not getting your bum on it.
That is funny, isn't it? Keep your eye on it. You're not getting your bum on it. We are. Actually, I'll run through the prices of Cockney Rhyming Slang that you taught me yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, go on. Here we go.
Lady Godiva,
yes.
Fiver.
Yes. Oh, actually, the first one would be an Alan Wicker.
Alan Wicker, quid. I forgot that one.
Yeah.
Well, Lady Godiva, fiver.
Yep.
Unwell Octopus, £6.
£6? Brilliant. So good.
Cockle.
Cockle in.
15 is a Lionel.
A Lionel.
Three times a lady. From Gary.
Gary, more than Abby, that was.
Yes. 15. 20 is. It's an apple core.
Or a score. Yeah, because that's core. Double rhyming slang. Isn't it?
It is. Pony's 25.
It really is.
50 is a bull.
A bullseye,
A bullseye. Bully,
yeah.
A bully or a nifty.
Or a nifty.
Hundreds a ton. Or a longin, is that what you call it?
A longin.
A longin. So
that's the. Or a century.
Or a century.
It's a century. So it's three
yeah,
for
of course.
Three for 100.
I'll stick with tongue because I know that one.
Okay.
200 is a bottle.
It certainly is.
300 is...
Has this one got you?
300.
300. You have to clean it now.
Carpet.
There it is.
It's a carpet. There we go. 400, double bottle.
Double bottle.
500 is a monkey.
Or a small gorilla.
Or a small gorilla. 600, double carpet.
600, double carpet.
Bag of sand, grand.
Bag of sand,
hey,
grand.
I've done all right. Done all right. My favourite's still an unwell octopus.
Unwell octopus.
An unwell octopus, would you?
Good is that?
An unwell octopus. That was what we were talking about yesterday. But today, we're talking about which TV show would you bring back? You can call us on 0208 70 20 558. That is a number you can call us on, or you can WhatsApp us on that number, as many of you did.
Yeah, well, it was your WhatsApp yesterday, wasn't it?
It is.
It was very good. So, yeah, just to briefly say, checking Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat weekly means the risk of suffering psychological distress is up to 20%.
I'm not surprised.
Of course it is. I can't stand it. Instagram. Instagram is terrible.
Well, do you know what? I am on Facebook.
And yeah,
the reason I'm on Facebook a lot And that's because the comedy circuit has moved to the Facebook world. Yeah, so all my work's on Facebook
everything
now.
Has. Everything's moved to that world.
Everything's on there.
But Instagram, apparently, is the new thing.
And it's the pictures, it's the videos.
I don't get it.
I tell you who's great on Instagram. Ewan Thomas.
Oh, is
does
he?
Drive on Ewan, Fridays and does breakfast on Saturdays
Ewan,
on Love Sport. He's fantastic on Instagram. Very funny, man.
But he's a great... He's a lovely fella, Ewan.
Lovely bloke.
He is.
Lovely, lovely bloke.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's just how it's gonna keep getting worse and worse. I spoke to my mate Paul Zicanin from 10cc.
Yes.
We FaceTime each other about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And set the world to right. set the world to rights. Is that the right? Yeah, anyway.
Set the world to rights.
So, and we was having a chat. I said, where are the kids? He said, he's got a boy and a girl. You know, one's nine, one's five or six.
Mm.
Actually, 10 she is, little Hallie. And he said, oh, they're in there watching the telly. So what do they watch? He said, oh, no, not the telly. No. Kids don't watch telly anymore.
What?
They watch YouTubers.
YouTubers?
Yes.
Joe Sugg was on Strictly.
There we are. Sad is it now? They watch YouTubers. Do you know what they do? Do you know what these kids do? I've seen it. They watch... People do YouTube channels of them playing PlayStation 4 games.
My partner does that. He watches them. I've never understood it.
What is never that understood all about?
But I mean, I can't really say it. These kids, because I'm only a few years older than them. I'm only 26. But I don't understand it.
I've got something very sad to tell you.
What's
about
that?
Me.
Another
now,
one.
Now, I'm going to admit this, I do love my food, right?
Yeah.
And there's one thing I do is I have to watch something. I have to watch something. Wah!
You have to watch them. Wah! I like to watch the Flintstones. Wah! They've got the same views as me in the Stone Age. Wah!
What you've got
do
to
know
watch
what
something.
You're right. You're right. If you just set you off, you're what have we got there?
Well, I'll get this after your food.
Yeah, the sad thing about me. Yeah.
Absolutely, because I'm very pleased to say we are joined on the line with George Aluat. A very good morning to you, George.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, George. What's going on here then,
well,
George?
Well, the thing is, people are saying that should people do apprenticeships instead of going to uni?
Yeah.
Is this down the argument that people should get work experience over being out of work, so to speak, George?
It is, yeah. And actually, we've done a recent survey on people that are just about to get their A-level results, actually tomorrow, asking them what they're planning to do and actually kind of how confident they feel with the decisions they're making. And that's where it gets a bit worrying, actually. So 72% of people that are getting their A-level results tomorrow said they're planning to go to university. But actually, 44% of them don't think a degree will equip them with the skills they need for the world of work.
Well, do you know what, though? Just before I ask you the next question, George, I've got to tell you, I think that the university has been diluted over the years, the meaning of university. I think when my sister went to university, I mean, it meant something. I just think that most people go there, it's another few years off. I really do. But anyway, what do the findings of your survey show about students' plans after their A-levels?
Yeah, so actually, again, the vast majority planning to go to university, and I kind of agree, actually. I think a good amount of those will be because that is just what people do. That's the kind of social pressure that after you finish A-levels, you go to university, because that's what your friends do and that's what your parents have done.
Yeah.
Other than that, actually, then after that's kind of only small numbers to play with, but 10% are planning to go and get a job straight away, 5% planning to do an apprenticeship, and actually shortly followed by 4% who are planning to take a gap year.
George, why are degrees so popular, even though they don't necessarily lead to employment? I'll be honest with you, I didn't go to university. I wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
I didn't go to school.
And the majority of people that I studied with in A-levels and stuff, they went and carried on to do performance. And I just thought, well, I could either study for 3 years and do performance, or I could jump onto the comedy circuit and be 3 years into a... So by the time they were leaving university, I was already a professional comedian. So but why are degrees so popular?
It's a bit of a tricky one. I mean, so I took a similar-ish route. I'm not a comedian, but I finished school and decided to do an apprenticeship just because I wanted to get my hands dirty and get going with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And actually something that was really important was that I was given some better advice around what apprenticeships are than I think we give to most people. Actually, again, another finding from our survey is that 46% of people don't feel they're given enough career advice. when they're going through school. And so that's a big problem, right? I mean, otherwise, of course, you just adhere to the social norms of going to university because that's what other people do. So actually giving people more career advice would be a really helpful way of starting that off. Another thing is actually just demystifying what apprenticeships are. I mean, people still think that apprenticeships are for people that were too thick to go to university.
Yeah.
And actually often the kind of those manual roles, so being a plumber or a builder or an electrician. But actually now there's a whole host of different programs that are on offer. We do apprenticeships at Avado that work with data analysts that are learning some of the crucial skills in kind of analyzing data, which is a really in-demand skill now. Also kind of digital marketing, for example, another area where it's a kind of a growing field where it's not a manual role, but instead is a kind of a exciting new industry that should be considered.
Listen, what would you say to students or parents who received the, you know, devastating results tomorrow? I mean, you know, what would you say to them?
I think I'd just say, regardless of your results, it doesn't stop you from going where you want to. And occasionally there are the odd situation where you want to be a lawyer, and actually going to university is pretty important for a lawyer. Whereas actually, if you want to do something else, just really research your other options. Don't just go to the university route because that's what it feels like you need to do.
Can I just ask you very quickly? While it's in my head, do a lot of people self teach themselves these days? I mean, with the internet, you literally can self teach yourself, can't you?
Right. Not at the stage that kind of people getting their A-level results, but actually, absolutely later on in their professional career. Avado's a business that trains people in all sorts of different areas. And lots of that is people saying, I'd like to become better at something in my area. For example, I'd like to become better at managing a team. Mm-hmm. And so they'll, off their own bat, go and find a program online and study it online. Absolutely, people choose that route of learning.
You're absolutely right. George, this is a two-part question, this really. Are there enough good apprenticeships to make a viable alternative to uni? And what needs to be done in order to shake that stigma of, as you said, the not-as-bright people have to take the apprenticeships? How do we shake that stigma?
Yeah, so on the first question, are there enough apprenticeships? Absolutely. I mean, we consistently have over 50 vacancies advertising at all times. We're always finding new employers that want to find apprentices into their business, and we're just one provider out of hundreds, if not thousands. So absolutely, there are plenty, and actually more so now than before. Whilst there are kind of apprenticeship numbers are vaguely down overall, actually the government has recently introduced a whole new way of funding apprenticeships, which requires every organisation over a certain size to pay money into a pot that can only be spent on apprenticeship funding. So companies have essentially a tax, and the only way they can spend it is through apprenticeships. So there is more of a push to use apprenticeships for organisations. In terms of what we can do to raise the profile of apprenticeships, I know the government's trying quite a lot. I mean, you may have seen some of the campaigns that the government's been running more recently about apprenticeships. The government is trying to raise the profile. I think the other thing is just singing louder about the success stories that we're seeing. We have some great examples of learners that kind of 4 years ago started at Google, for example, and now kind of going at some kind of quite senior roles at some really interesting organizations. We need to be shouting about those case studies and get people excited for the opportunity that an apprenticeship holds.
George, thank you very, very much indeed for coming on to the Bell and Spurling Show. And yes, thank you very much. You made some really, really valid points there. And George Aliot, a business analyst, thank you very, very much indeed for coming on to the Bell and Spurling Show. He's absolutely right. Yes. For those of you, if you are waiting for A-level results and you don't get the ones you want, it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely, it's
absolutely
fine.
Absolutely fine.
Yeah, it is fine. I mean, I was chucked out of school at 15.
Were you?
I was, yeah.
I left college with a C, D, E and a U.
Right.
Because I didn't try.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to.
Before we go to the break very quickly, my science teacher, right, Mr. Stannard, his name was.
Yeah.
Mr. Stannard, Spurling, what are you doing?
Get out of the shot!
But he was a horrible... He looked like Herman Munster. He was a horrible man. And he gave me... the worst you could do was an E, E for effort, which is like E, the word yep. A, B, C, D, or E. E and E for your exam result, and 5 was the lowest you could get for effort. So if you got EE5, that was the worst. Ooh. He made up. He said, there are no... that I can't go low enough. There are not any marks low enough for John. So I'm going to give him HH8. And he did. He gave
that's
him
terrible.
HH8.
What? People don't realise that F is a pass. F is a pass. Yeah. U is ungraded.
U is ungraded.
And I got a U, listener. Don't you worry, did because you really? I don't care. Yeah. And look at me now. Look at us now, Johnny.
Look at us now.
You are listening because I didn't. I failed at college, didn't go to university, but I still get to say this. You go are on. Listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
And very much plus the cow.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
Very much plus the cow.
Oh, we are asking you.
Yes.
Two things.
Yes.
What are the greatest sporting moments which never happened? This is because rain is delaying all of the crickets in today, so it may yeah. never happen.
May not happen.
And we're also asking you, which game show would you bring back? And who would host it?
Who would host it?
Who would host
Producer
it?
Producer Laurie hasn't had a choice yet, has he?
He hasn't. No. We need to find out what game show you'd bring back.
Yeah.
See, we were looking through and we were talking about... I looked up online, say, which ones are we missing, basically. Yeah. Which ones are we missing? And I forgot Mr. and Mrs.
Mr.
and Mrs.
It's still on, isn't it? With Philip Schofield.
I thought it was.
Yeah, but again, it's celebrity Mr. and Mrs. It doesn't mean anything.
It's not proper.
It should be Mr. and Mrs. with Alfie and Doris.
Would you do a celebrity one of Bell and Sperling?
No.
Mr. and Mr.
Love of course they do all that now. Of course, quite rightly so.
Supermarket Sweep, though.
Yeah, that's coming back.
Dale Winton.
With Ryland Clark.
And then he goes back down. That's how Dale Winton used the network. Well, I love Dale Winton.
He was great,
he was
Dale.
Great. I liked his... He has the same tan colour as Donald Trump.
Yeah, he did,
didn't he?
He did. A lovely man as well. Really lovely man.
I never met him. Oh, Gladiators.
Yeah, was you a fan of that?
Not hugely, but they brought it back in America and Hulk Hogan hosted it.
Well, didn't they start it in America?
It did start in America.
Started in America.
Came over here, stopped in America, stopped here, but they brought it back in America.
Who, can you tell me who used to host it?
No.
Over here?
No.
I'll tell you.
Who was it?
Eureka Johnson and John Fashanu.
John Fashanu and Eureka Johnson?
Yeah.
Well, I know Eureka from... Shooting Stars.
Yeah, nice girl, Eureka.
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 Iranu. Ooh, the naughty boy then.
Uvavu.
And, yeah, it said, your questions will stop when you hear this noise from George Dawes. Crayon. Be a crayon. Yes.
Brilliant.
Ask the Family. Do you remember Ask the Family?
Yes, I do.
I don't remember that. What was that?
Robert Robinson, Ask the Family.
What was that?
It was a programme that was on BBC Two at 6 o'clock in the evening that nobody used to watch.
That's what I got. Well, it was on from 1967 to 2005.
It was. Ask the Family, Robert Robinson.
Call My Bluff.
Now, that is basically Would I Lie to You?
Right, okay. So it was an improv.
Frank Mueller. His name was Frank Mueller.
Frank
Mueller. You don't remember Frank Mueller, do you? Frank Mueller.
No.
Yeah, it was there.
Do you know what I hate saying?
Frank Mueller.
I hate saying this phrase, but before my time. It really is. I'm really sorry to say that.
People like Frank Mueller. Frank Mueller. It's definitely before your time.
But Strike It Lucky?
It's great. Strike It Lucky.
Strike It Lucky.
But who would take... No one could take Barrymore's place.
Absolutely
nobody
could not.
Take his place.
Nobody. As we've
there's
said...
There's no one out there. Not even Brandy Walsh could take Barrymore's anarchic way.
He was great, Barrymore.
When he used to come... We did the pilot and we did the actual first show of My Kind of Music, me and my mate Craig Neil.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we got in it, but we did the rehearsals for it up in some godforsaken place in God knows where in London in a little studio, you know. And we were doing the format and we all had to line up. You know, you have to line up like you are. Like you would be on the show, but you just with a couple of tables in front of you.
Yeah.
And he came round, literally, I'll never forget it. He came round to each individual. Now, listen, you've got to remember, he's in a little dingy like office kind of place in God knows where. No one can see him. He's got no cameras on him. But he performed like he was in front of thousands. Just to us. He went round each individual.
Yeah.
You know, as he goes around, so tell me, what's your name then? Johnny. And he'd do that. Brilliant he was.
Lovely man. Lovely man.
What we got?
Well, grieving families can be charged up to £680 more.
Yeah.
To cremate their loved ones, depending on where they live. I'm very pleased to say, that sounds awful, doesn't it, saying that line, then saying very pleased to say. But yeah. I am very pleased to say that we have the guest, Helen Knapman, Deputy Digital Consumer Writer from The Sun. Very good morning to you, Helen.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. I've just got to say, first of all, before we actually get into it, my friend sadly lost his father early this year, and late last year it was, in like November, and he's only just sorted it out. Do you know what I mean? They didn't even have the coroner's report properly. And it cost him so much money. Mm. It really is. It's a terrible thing.
Yeah, it's really awful, because it's this sort of your time in your life when you're really upset, you're grieving, and the last thing you want to think about is money and how you're going to be able to pay to give your loved one, you know, the send-off that they really deserve.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think what this research that's come out shows is that it's so important that you do think about it and that you do compare costs, because actually providers are charging a huge range of fees. There really is a very wide discrepancy in what people are charging.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. Some of the most expensive places are Beckenham and Crawley. How have the costs been driven up so much?
Yeah, exactly. So the research found that Beckenham and Crawley, for example, they're charging £1,070 for a standard cremation.
It's ridiculous.
It's a huge sum of money. And when you consider that the research found that the lowest fee being charged by one cremation was £392, so that's nearly a £700 difference in costs, just depending on where you live in the country.
Wow.
So what these, I know, it's crazy. These cremation services, what they're saying is, you know, they're having to pay more to upgrade their services because, I mean, sadly, more people are dying. And they're having to pay for new sort of environmental ways to, you know, help the environment while they're doing this.
Yeah.
But
the amazing thing is, Helen, of course, let's face it, it's something that's always going to happen.
It's the only guarantee,
isn't
it?
It's the only guarantee you've got when you're born is that you're going to die. And so, you know, they make a lot of money out of it, don't they?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's one of those. In a way, it's very similar to weddings, and the providers know they can get away with charging what they like because it's sort of an essential service. Everyone needs it. But there are ways you can cut costs. That is just sort of the upside of this.
What is the upside?
If there is any. Compare. As we can see, there's a big difference in what providers charge. And actually, it tends to be the privately run cremation services that cost more than the council run cremation services.
Okay.
So check what you can get in your local area, and prices will variably different. And then what you can also do, if you're really struggling, if you're on a low income, there is a government fund that you might be able to qualify for access for. And that will help to pay for funeral costs, cremation costs, as well as sort of flowers and fees for the service.
Am I right in saying, Helen, that a lot of people, they sort their own funeral costs out, don't they? If they can.
Well, we see the adverts, don't we, with the, pay monthly for your funerals, don't we?
Yeah,
this is these sort of things are very popular. So you can set up, you know, these sort of funeral plans where you pay each month or a lump sum up front, and you sort of pay for that so your family don't need to worry about it when you die.
Yeah.
So there are pros and cons of doing this. So obviously, sort of the pro is that you're sort of locking in at today's prices.
Yes.
And with funeral and cremation costs going up, then, you know, this could be a good thing that you're locking in.
Mm.
But then there are downsides you need to bear in mind. If you move, for example, you could be moving to a location where actually it's much cheaper to get a cremation or a funeral, and therefore you don't need to be paying as much as you were that you've already paid, if that makes sense. And you do need to watch out because there are some plans, and these tend to be the ones linked to insurance products, where people end up paying more in than their funeral will ever cost. Right.
And not get the money back.
Exactly, not get the money back.
I'll tell you something very quickly, Helen. I know you shouldn't make fun of these situations, but listen, we're all going to die. I mean, it's a fact. But this was a funny situation. When my dad died, my mum's Christian, my dad was Jewish, so my mum wants to be buried with my dad, so they got buried at a neutral place. Okay, it was a really lovely place, and so we'd had the funeral, and we came home, and my mum said to me, there was a 2-for-1, on the plots. I bought you one. Me and you got one. I said, what? What did you do? Yeah, my mum bought me a plot because it was 2-for-1. Can you believe it?
Very money saving. I mean, she was.
I got rid of it, Helen. Told her, get rid of it now. It was awful. I said, I don't know who I might meet somebody. I want to be buried with them. I don't want to. I might not want to be buried there. Get me a 2-for-1 plot. Cheek of it.
Well, Helen, the cheapest cremation is in Belfast at £392. You mentioned it can be that cheap earlier on. Is that based on costs, and how profitable is it? And forgive my ignorance, is there such a thing as like the pauper grave, so to speak, anymore? But I presume it's called differently now.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, yeah.
Yeah, so this is based on the cost of sort of what you would think of as a funeral with service, with music, with all of the things you might expect. However, if you strip away the service, if you strip away the music, if you strip away all of that, then there are actually ways that you can do this for a lot less. And they're kind of called basic funerals or basic cremation services. Sometimes they're called direct cremation. And those can cost sort of around £500. So you're saving money compared to a lot of providers by doing that.
Sorry, Helen, just very quickly, what does happen if you're penniless? No money at all, what happens to you?
No money at all. Then this is where the government fund will help.
Right.
So this is its fund for people on certain benefits, such as universal credit or income support. And then you can apply to the government to get the money reimbursed for funerals. So it'll only do it up to a certain amount, but hopefully it should cover the most basic of service. And there's also something called a children's funeral fund that's being introduced, and that's to cover, sadly, the deaths of children under 18. So that's another fund that parents can claim on.
Right, okay. Listen, last time we had you on, Helen, we were talking about Greg's secret menu. I mean, this is a much more somber subject. But before you go, listen, let's go on a high note, and let's say, we've been asking our listeners today about TV shows that they'd like to see to come back. You know, classic TV shows that we used to love years ago. What would you bring back, Helen?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
So I used to love, and I don't know if this is showing my age,
Bernard's
Watch. That was a classic.
What one was it?
Do you remember that, Bernard's Watch?
Bernard's Watch.
I do remember that. You used to click a watch and stop play.
Wow.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. That's a great one to bring back. Yeah, yeah. That should bring back. And then what about a game show, Helen, very quickly? The old game shows.
Game show.
Yeah.
Oh, good one. There used to be some really good ones, but I can't remember the name of them off the top of my head.
What about the Golden Shot? Remember the Golden Shot?
No, I don't remember.
Left
that
a bit,
one.
Right a bit, left a bit, left a bit. Fire! You don't remember the
Golden
Shot?
No! I don't, sorry.
What about 3-2-1 with Tim Rogers? That's got to come back here. 3-2-1 with Tim Rogers. There we are. Helen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Not the best of subjects, but listen, it's always lovely to talk to you. Wish you very, very well for the rest of your day.
Helen Knapman, Digital Deputy Consumer Writer at The Sun.
Yes.
You are listening to The Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
And very much plus the cow.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to The Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
And very much plus the cow.
That music there was the 50-50 theme song, which was...
never clue.
That was a game show where two schools went against each other.
Oh, how long ago are we talking?
Oh.
Well, if producer Laurie and you know it, it can't be that long ago.
1997 to 2005, it looks like. Yes, 1997 to 2005.
Okay, so you might,
Producer Laurie. That's what Producer Laurie says you should bring back. But who should host it, though, Producer Laurie? This is the thing. Mr. Blobby.
Whoever hosted it then is probably still around now.
Well, it was Angelica Bell for 2 years, so she's still going.
She can do it.
She'll do it, absolutely. We've had another message. We are asking you, what game show would you bring back and who would host it? Gary got in touch and said the Krypton Factor, and he'd have Warwick Davis to host the Krypton Factor.
And he also had a brilliant one, didn't he?
He said,
minus the bell, plus the gal. Very good. Very good.
Thank you very much for texting in, Gary. We always like it when people speak to us.
Thank you, Gal.
It can be lonely in this studio.
Oh, it can.
It's great when people speak to us.
Mind you, we've got so much rubbish in here. We're not on our own, are we? There's cups, there's papers, there's everything in here.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we are asking you. You can call us on
0208 7020.
That is the number you can call us or WhatsApp us on. We're asking you two things. Yes. What are the greatest sporting moments which never happened? This is after rain delay is stopping the second test in the Ashes.
I've got a little steward here.
Yep.
I've got a bit of a...
Bit of a steward.
I don't quite understand that question. That question. What are the greatest sporting events that didn't happen?
What could have happened? Yeah, so it's like in tennis, say, Roger Federer could face Nadal again in the final of Wimbledon.
Oh, I see.
But one of them, so it didn't happen. That's gotcha. That sort of style. That's what it is.
No, I understand.
That's what we're talking about.
That's what I'm getting. Yeah.
Indeed we are. Well, let's talk West Ham. Let's talk West Ham.
Let's talk our West Ham. They didn't start very well, did they?
Well, we'll ask this. I'm very pleased to say that we are joined on the line with Michael Campbell, who's a West Ham fan. And not only that, you might recognise, Michael, you were in the Coca-Cola advert, were you not, Michael?
Yes, I was. I appeared briefly twice in there, but when the music stopped at one stage, I was the guy on the snooker table talking to the camera.
Oh, fabulous.
Brilliant.
Are you any good at the snooker, Michael?
No, I'm not. I just had to meet at Mold May Snooker Club in North London. I was asked to attend there.
Oh,
and that's where all the film crew were, and that's where everything was done in there. It took all day, but it was
it's a long process, isn't it, Michael?
Long process. Filming is such a long process.
How did you get onto that advert, Michael?
Well, I ran a group, a Facebook, West Ham Facebook group. It's only been going about 2.5 years, and I've had some major health problems. And
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I decided to start the group. It's now over 10,200 strong. Some amazing people on
Fantastic.
There that have become friends, and it's ever so busy on there. And one day a guy came on and said, look, I'm not a West Ham supporter, I'm a film producer and director. Can I just spend a day in your group, see what's going on? And I said, well, of course you can. Within a few hours, he got back and said, I can't believe how informative this group is. Mm. It's West Ham United FC group, it's called.
Okay.
And he said, we're doing a Coca-Cola ad. We're doing a 3.5-year sponsorship for the Premier League. Well, Coca-Cola are. And part of the deal is we're going to do an advertisement just for Premiership clubs, and all 20 clubs will be represented. Would you like to be on it? I said, is this an April Fool's joke? Why would they want me? And he said, well, I'm offering you. Would you like to come along? You can bring somebody with you if you want. And I said, are you serious? He said, yes. And cut a long story short, he was very serious, and it's been an amazing experience.
Oh, that's fantastic. Lovely. That's lovely for you. That's wonderful.
No, you're not only about... Are you a West Ham fan, Michael? But a little birdie told me that you had trials, did you not?
Well, when I was 15, I was approached by Wally St. Pierre, who was the chief scout then, asked if I wanted to go to Chapel Heath to the training ground Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I was absolutely amazed at the time when I lived in Basildon with my mother, that actually Ted Fenton, the first team manager, turned up in a light blue Citroen. I thought, I can't believe it. I had to pinch myself. It was the only time he attended, but Wally St. Pierre couldn't make it. So I felt, years later, I felt how honoured I was.
Yeah.
But I was only on trial there. I lasted about a season and a half. And although I was all right at scoring goals, apparently my work rate wasn't as good as it should be.
Then
I went on to Southend from there.
Well, really, on Southend?
I was a while at Southend, but then I broke
the
my
strippers.
Leg,
the strippers.
19 problem. 19 and a manager of a shop. So I couldn't have Saturdays off. So that was my football career over. But I did go back in another role to West Ham afterwards because I thought you can't keep me away. I've got to come back to this club, and I went back commercially.
Michael, let's have a look. West Ham's at the bottom of the table, unfortunately, mainly down to goal difference. Firstly, were you disappointed with that performance? And secondly, where do you think they're going to finish?
Well, it could have gone anyway, but when you think that Manchester City have had something like about £500-600 million to spend, it does give you a little bit of an unfair advantage. We haven't had a very good record against them over the last few seasons, but it is still early doors. We lost the first four games of the season last season, and we've done quite well towards the end. On paper, we've got a strong squad now, a good manager, fantastic supporters that will support them through thick and thin.
Yeah.
Obviously, a little disillusioned, but I still think it's early doors yet. I think
turn this around. And also, of course, don't forget, you were playing Man City. I mean, you know, I think anybody would have struggled against... Listen, Chelsea struggled against Man United. I mean, they got a thumping as well. So you weren't the only one. Listen, what was your opinion of the VAR situation? I mean, and that played a big role in that game. I mean, you're old school, like I am. What's your opinion of VAR?
I think the trouble is... Now, when you're elated, when the ball goes in the net and you're all cheering, and
yes,
then you've got to wait a while to decide whether you should be cheering or not, kind of takes some of the momentum and excitement away.
It does.
A lot of people say they've been cheated with the visual eye, with the officials that are not quite good enough. There should have been a VAR system. So I think that there's mixed feelings about it, but it's early days yet. Perhaps we'll be glad that we've got it in time.
Oh, no, it's here to stay now, I'm sure of that. It's not going to go anywhere now, is it?
Yeah, because you've always got human error, and sometimes human error, a bad decision could cost you relegation, millions of pounds revenue, players being suspended that shouldn't have been because someone's decided to dive in front of them. So I suppose he's got more pluses than minuses.
Michael, before you go, we've been asking everybody which game show would you bring back and who would host it. So,
yes.
So we'll ask you, which game show would you bring back?
One of the old ones, Michael, from the old days.
Well, one I wouldn't bring back was a generation game because I was on it once and they pulled the sliding doors open and the conveyor belt and you could take home anything you can remember.
Yes.
And I'd come away with the conveyor belt. That's all I could remember.
Did you go on it with Brucey?
Sorry?
Did you go on it with Brucey or Larry Grayson?
No, I didn't really. I just made that
up. You made that up, didn't you, Michael? You're pulling our leg here.
It's from my book of my lead balloon book of jokes that nobody's bought a copy of it in 10 years except myself. But I just thought I'd throw that in.
Well, I think I'll buy your book, Michael. What would you bring back though? Not the generation game, but what would you bring back?
I thought the generation game at one time was quite good.
Well, it's brilliant, but Brucey.
I don't watch many game shows.
Oh.
Really. I'm more of an anorak type. I'm not looking at most sports.
Oh, question of sport then.
Question of sport. Well, that is back.
It is back.
Yeah.
It's never gone anywhere.
The thing is, I think if people see me in the street, they climb trees, jump over walls and just run in the opposite direction. They think, don't ask him how he is. He'll tell you all about West Ham for 4 hours. You won't get anything done.
Yep. Well, some are not going to believe that, Michael.
Michael, thank you very much.
I'm very pleased to say, if you're riding around Piccadilly Circus, look at the Coca-Cola billboard. I'm on there representing West Ham as well, which is
such
a privilege to be on there.
Lovely, Michael. Well, I tell you what, enjoy it all. It's great. Enjoy it.
Thank you very much indeed, Michael. That was Michael Campbell there, who's a West Ham fan, and he also created the West Ham United fan group on Facebook.
And he's in
there.
The Coca-Cola as well.
You're listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
Very much plus the cow.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
Very much plus the cow.
We are here until
2 p.m. And very much plus the posh boy. He's coming to play the game. The games with Laurie.
He is indeed. We've been asking you, listener, what game show would you bring back and which host would you have? I've had a message, say, from Kelly, who said, whose line is it anyway with Clive Anderson? And she said she would do literally anything to bring Josie Lawrence back.
Ah, Josie. Josie's lovely. You know, by the way, we talked about tinnitus earlier.
Yeah.
Poor Josie suffers... What are you laughing at?
It was just so parched. We talked about tinnitus earlier.
We were.
No, a quicksand.
We were talking about tinnitus earlier.
Quicksand.
And poor Josie, I was talking to her at the Edinburgh Festival a couple of years ago, and she suffers dreadfully with it.
Is that just when she's talking to you?
Do you know what?
You know, a lot of people have that, don't they?
You're not funny, posh boy. You're very stupid.
Well, we'll see if...
For an intellect, you're very stupid.
We'll see if posh boy, PB... If PB fancies posh boy...
PB?
PB. we're joined in the studio with producer Laurie.
JB, PB. And producer Laurie, PL.
Thanks so much.
PL.
I think that'll stick. So...
What you got for us?
Today, as you've just been saying, we've been talking about TV shows.
Yes.
And Cal, you had something to do with devising this one.
I did.
Today, our...
What?
On our what is the section called?
Games with Laurie.
Fabulous. Today on
Games with Laurie.
What we're going to be doing is,
yes,
you know, Americans make versions of English TV shows. Obviously,
yeah,
we
badly.
Do it the other way around, but they tend to make
yeah, like
bad ones.
Sanford and Sons was stepped on.
Yeah, well, don't give them away in case they change.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I was just giving an example.
In case it's on the quiz. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you: yeah. Is it real or is it fake?
Oh,
so I'll give you the English show.
Yes.
And then I'll give you the name of the hypothetical American show, whether or not it's real.
What a great game this is.
Yeah? Are you ready?
Okay. We're ready to start Games with Laurie.
Okay, and Johnny Sperling will be up first, as he always is.
Oh, I am.
Here's one for you, Johnny Sperling.
Come on, hit me.
The million-pound drop is what we call it. Davina McCall hosts it.
Yes. With Davina McCall, that one.
That's literally what I just said.
Glad you're listening, Johnny.
You
said it very fast. Go on, carry on. I've had two hours sleep. Get on with it.
Okay, well, we know Davina McCall definitely hosts the English one.
I think
we've established that, yeah.
I don't know who hosts the American one.
No.
But is it called...
Yeah.
The Million Dollar Money Drop.
The Million Dollar Money Drop.
With Davina McCall.
I think it's true.
That one is true.
Yeah, it is true.
Just and put an extra word in for no reason.
Just for no reason. Yeah.
Like horseback riding.
The Million Dollar Money Drop.
I do know who hosts it as well, but I know who it is. It's the,
well, you can look it up. That's
no,
why
it's
you
the
can't
it's
there.
The Bold's Britain's Got America's Got Talent judge, and I can't remember. Howie Mandel.
Hey, Howie.
He hosts it.
Okay, let's move on.
So just before we... Only in America could you have a name like Howie.
That's true. Thanks for your contribution, John.
Hey, Howie!
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Cal Halbert.
Yes.
Don't Tell the Bride.
Yes.
That's what we call it. Mm. But in America, is it called The Groom Wears the Pants?
The groom wears the pants.
The groom wears the pants.
That is good. I'm going to say false, though.
Yeah, it is false.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Is it Bridezilla's over there or something like that?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the real ones because I haven't had time.
Okay.
The groom wears the pants.
Next one.
PB.
Johnny Sperling. No, sorry. I do apologise, Johnny Burrow.
It's JB.
Drive host Johnny Burrow. We have a show called... I'm sure you've been on it. Made in Chelsea.
Yeah, you should be.
But in America, is it called, their equivalent, of course, Kids of the Upper East Side?
Kids of the Upper East Side.
Sounds like Real Housewives of Orange County.
It'd be that sort of show, wouldn't it?
False.
That is false.
Yes. Oh!
Bad round for me there.
No, that was really good, though. I thought Kids of the Upper East Side.
Okay, so we're on 1-1-1.
Oh, we all got one each. Okay.
Next, we're going back to
I'm normally the lead by now.
Gavin and Stacey, you know it?
Gavin and Stacey,
I have seen this version in America. It's dreadful.
Okay.
But is it called
Us
and Them?
Us and Them.
Gavin and Stacey.
Yeah.
Of course, it's about London,
I'm gonna
and
go,
Wales,
I'm
not
gonna,
in America.
Us and I'm going to go with true.
That is true, yes.
I thought it was them and us. I thought it was.
That would have been really mean, wouldn't it?
If I thought it was them and us.
What a stupid title, us and them. And look, as you said that, James Corden came on the telly. Go carry on.
Tell you what, these are the coincidences in life that
I
we
do
live
like
for.
About Gavin and Stacey's. It's the Shipmans and the Wests.
Right, we're going to try and speed this up a bit, otherwise we'll be here through Kieran Pritchard's show.
Well, we might say that's a positive.
We might as well be, because he's got no cricket to talk about. Carry on.
Chuckle Vision.
Chuckle Vision, yeah.
Very sadly, Barry obviously passed away last year, but they do have one in America.
As did No Slacking. You know, and No Slacking, he died 2 days ago.
Kay, he's not in Chuckle Vision, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
He's one of the Patton brothers, the Chuckle Brothers'
it's
older
like
brothers.
A deep cut Chuckle Vision character.
Jim Patton.
Carry on.
Anyway, that's a shame for him.
Yeah.
Chuckle Vision in America, is it called Twins Causing Trouble?
No. False.
That is false. Oh, I thought that was quite good.
Everyone's getting them
right.
Everyone's
getting them right.
So, it was the Hounds in America.
I haven't done well yet. Okay.
Well, I think you're going to come into your own very soon.
Johnny Burrow, First Dates. Have you seen it?
I have.
Got a nice French guy in it?
Terrible.
In America, Stranger Setup.
Stranger Setup.
Stranger Setup.
False.
That is false.
Get it.
I need to work on that.
Laurie, he's off the game.
You know what? This has been my worst day so far.
It has. Carry on.
2-2-2.
Okay.
Here we go.
6 from 6, lads.
The Royal Family.
The Royal Family, yep.
Do you know it?
Of course.
Okay, great.
With Jim... Yeah, with Caroline Ahern, who... She's
Davina McCall.
Are we just going to talk about people who passed away? We've got to... Carry on.
Is that called At the Royals?
It's quite good, isn't it? At the Royals.
Quite good.
That's not bad. What's wrong with it? At the Royals is false.
Yeah, it is false.
Oh.
I didn't even have one for that, because I thought, that can't be made up, it's so bad.
Is there an American Royal Family, then?
I don't know.
Okay, brilliant.
This Cal has Halbert. Literally been the worst by
three,
a mile
it's
so
three,
far.
3-2-2 at the moment.
Cal Halbert.
Yes. Come on. Get it wrong.
How clean is your house?
With Kim and Aggie. Oh, yes, my lad.
Oh, look at the back. Turn the head and here come.
We all know about Kim and Aggie. But in America, did they literally call it, so American, Kim and Aggie clean up America?
I'm going to say it's true.
Yeah, it is true.
Yes.
The pressure's on me again.
Posh boy, this is going to be... 3-3-2. If you get this, this will be a first.
Right.
For three out of threes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The pressure, lads.
Come on, make it a good one.
Big fat quiz of the year.
Yeah.
Do they call it the Quizathon? And then insert year. So, Quizathon 2018, 2019.
False.
That's false as
Guess
well.
Oh!
I literally... Oh, I'm so ashamed.
No, they've been good. I mean, but we've just been, you know...
Better.
Okay, changing rooms.
Changing rooms.
Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen.
Yeah.
Is it called Trading Spaces? Trading Spaces.
With Davina McCall.
Trading Spaces. I'm going to go true.
That's true.
10 from 10.
Wow. But listen, I mean, we just...
Dad's Army.
We're getting lucky.
Dad's Army, yeah.
Dad's Army.
Do you know this one?
I know Dad's Army, yeah.
I know you know Dad's Army, but you don't know the American
one.
No.
I didn't know there was an American one.
I didn't know there was
the one. Rear Guard.
The rear guard.
The rear guard.
Oh. I'm sorry, that sounds... I can't say that. It's unbroadcastable. I'm going to say it's false.
That was true!
Hey! I knew that was true. The rear
the
guard.
The rear guard.
It looks like
that
you,
sounds like
you
something you'd hear in Soho.
Cow.
So, Johnny Burrow.
Come on!
To draw and take it to a tiebreak alongside Jonathan Sperling.
Sperling again.
Sorry, John Sperling.
Right,
it's fake
on.
Johnny. Gogglebox.
Yeah.
Is that called in America the People's Couch?
Ooh. False.
It's true.
I mean, I've done it again.
Johnny's won again.
Yes, indeed. That
That's
was
so annoying.
Games with Laurie.
I'd prepared a quick tiebreak if you didn't use. If you want to have a guess.
Can we do a tiebreak between me and Johnny as to who's rock bottom last?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh,
great.
Who's his tiebreak?
Okay. Broadchurch.
Yeah.
Is that called Grace Point?
I'll let you answer first, Johnny.
Narrow Cathedral. Grace Point. True.
False.
It's true.
Oh! There you go.
So, Johnny Sperling now, just to clarify, are you up to
Four.
And the others are on one.
I'm on one, yeah.
How are you that good at something?
Very well done. That was Games with Laurie.
Games with Laurie. That was a really good game.
We've also been asking you we've also been asking you what game shows would you bring back. Gary has got in touch saying 3-2-1 hosted by Rod Gilbert. That's what he'd say.
Oh, okay.
So Rod Gilbert, hosting 3-2-1.
3-2-1. 3-2-1.
I've also had one saying Blockbusters, hosted by Cal Halbert.
You'd be good at all of them, really. Wouldn't you? You'd be good. Would you like to do it? I think you'd be really good.
I'd love to do Catchphrase. I mean, just keep pressing and guessing. Keep pressing and guessing.
Yeah, but it would have been taken. I mean, one that's not been taken.
Well,
what'd you do?
None of
you'd be good at Strike It Lucky.
I'd like Takeshi's Castle. Dun, 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 dun. I love Takeshi's
what
Castle.
What theme tune did we say we wanted to hear earlier on?
Big Break.
Big Break.
Big Break.
Can we do it, Laurie?
Big Break. They're talking in the microphone, Johnny Sterling.
Sorry, Laurie. Actually, going into the break,
yeah,
we've got a break coming up. Can you please find Big Break theme tune and we'll go into the break with Big Break? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, makes sense, doesn't it? We are here for just under 15 minutes more. So if you want to get in touch with us, tell us what game show you bring back and who hosting it. Call us on 0208 720558. Or you can WhatsApp us on that number, as many of you have done already. Here you go.
Here we go.
You've been listening to the Bell and Sperling Show.
No, you haven't, because we're coming back.
Yeah. You are listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
And pretty much plus the cow.
This is Love Sport.
You've been listening to Bell and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.